welcome to Voices Love of Freedom.
Talk Radio.
All right, the Lord laid this on my heart last night, so you get it today. That's sort of the way that this program works. So I'm glad to be able to talk to you. And we're going to get right into it. There's some verses today we want to cover, and the biggest part of what we're trying to cover today deals with the fact that I kind of like to know where I stand. You ever hear that terminology used? I'm sure we all have. You know, if you're dating somebody and things aren't going too good, or all of a sudden, you know, what used to be everybody was all smiles and hugs and whatever else there. Now all of a sudden everybody's serious and something's changed. Well, let me tell you something. In all of human history, let me share where the Bible puts us today. First of all, I'll start out in 2 Peter 3:8, and Peter is talking about some of the problems that are going to come here, and he talks about those in verse 3 through 7, okay? But he says, let me just read this. We got time for this. It says, knowing this, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts. You know, there's people here that have a plan of their own, an agenda, and there's nothing in the world. Politics is a great example of this. And, you're not going to change their agenda. And saying, where is the promise of his coming? So I'm getting some feedback on my political signs because they say Jesus first. Well, Jesus told me to go tell the whole world, even the people that don't want to hear about it. He said, you go tell them about what I've done for you. So that's what I'm trying to accomplish. Now, the scoffers that are coming, okay, those that are in this last day, they ridicule. They're not interested in Jesus. They hope he don't come because they see, they really know how they're living, because I knew how I was living. They know what they need to do, but they're just not willing to do it, okay? So when Peter is trying to explain to them that God's time and our time are not the same, there still is some things, or still are some things in the Bible that God's given us that we can know for sure, okay? And one of the things is this, and it's in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. Peter says, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. Now, what does that mean to you and me? Well, if I stop and I think about this a little bit, I can look back here in Genesis chapter 1, and I can see that the first day God said, let there be light, and there was light, okay? Now, God had a second day, and God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the heavens, or in the midst of the waters, I'm sorry, and let it divide the waters from the waters. That's the second day. On the third day, God said, let the waters under the heaven, okay, be gathered together in one place and let the dry land appear, and it was. So apparently all the water covered the land. Now the, you know, it raises up and you got that. So the fourth day, there were heavenly bodies, and God said, let there be light in the firmament of heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be signs for the seasons and for days and for years. So guess what? Right there in Genesis, God sets up what we know as a day. The earth has always tilted on its axis. The seasons have always been what they've been. Now, can I explain the ice age to you in 70 million years ago? No. And I'm not trying to. I'm not trying to tell you the origin of the earth and how it all came to be. I'm trying to tell you how in human history God has dealt with his people and where we stand in human history right today. And I'm going to get you pretty close, I guarantee it. Now, it says here, on the fifth day, God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly moving creatures that have life, and fowl that may fly on the earth and in the open firmament of heaven. Okay, so God creates great whales and all kinds of things to be in the open. So, that's the fifth day. Now, on the sixth day, God creates the animals of the earth, all that we know, okay? Now, I'm not going to get into this, but then the second part of the sixth day, or also on the sixth day, God says to God the Spirit and God the Son, he said, let us. So it lets you know that we serve one God, but in three persons. So God said, let us make man in our own image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Now, that's your sixth day. Okay? Let me give you this. It says, so God created man his own image, and the image of God created he them, male and female created he them. Then in chapter 2, we open up with, thus the heaven and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work, which he had rested on the Sabbath day from his work, which he had made. Now, you say, what in the world are you doing, Lunsford? I'm trying to get you to see that there were 6 days in the creation of it all. Okay? The seventh day, seven in the Bible means complete. God rested on the seventh day. So I'm here to tell you what I believe. And I believe that there is going to be 6,000 years of human history. I believe at the end of that, Jesus will rest for 1,000 years in a millennial reign on this earth. I believe at the end of the millennial reign that there are people that came into this millennial reign that were never tried with sin or born during this millennial reign that have never been tried with sin. So Satan will be loosed a little here at the end of the 1,000-year reign. And guess what Satan does? He still tricks a few people, and you know, people still wander after him, and God takes it for a little while, or allows it, I guess you would say, for a little while, and then Satan is bound forevermore in the bottomless pit. Now, what do we got with that? Well, where are we? When is that going to happen? Because at the end of the bottomless pit, at the end of the 1,000-year millennial reign, when all that business is taken care of, I can run over there to Revelation 21, and I can see a new heaven and a new earth. Well, if I look in the Bible and I start running out what the numbers in the Bible mean, when I get to the number 8, 8 means a new beginning. There is a new beginning coming for you and me with God in a place called heaven when the first earth and the first heaven are passed away. Now, that should be a pretty exciting thing. But what keeps coming to me in this, and what's kind of scary, is when I look around and I see people aren't a bit interested in it, you know. And I could see maybe how Abraham might have had a hard time following. Because when he tells Abraham, Abraham, your heirs are going to be as the sand of the sea. And Abraham didn't have kids. I can see where Abraham might say, well, you know, it's going to take a while on this, right? I can see we're in King David's time when he tells King David, you know, through you the royal throne is going to come, and, you know, your son will judge the world here one day, you know. And David saw maybe, well, that's going to be a little bit of a while off. Well, if I go back and I look through some of the notes in the Bible, it tells me roughly that we are nearing the end of the sixth day of human history. And you say, well, how do you know that? Well, you can go back from the time that Moses was told to go up to the mountain and write the first five books of the Bible, okay? It was roughly 1,500 years before Jesus was here, okay? So on that 1,500 years before Jesus was here, he goes back and he writes about probably 2,500 years of human history, okay? So 1,500 years before Jesus sat forth on the earth, Moses is writing about things that happened 1,500 years back in the book of Genesis, what we just read. So if I had the book of Genesis and what Moses wrote in the first five books and bring it up to Exodus, Deuteronomy, Numbers, and Leviticus, where Moses is, you know, current day, right? Then I run it forward. I've got 4 days of human history in that, okay? I could even give you a guy named Clarence Lark, and I cannot find his book here anyplace, and I have searched this place over. But what Clarence Larkin has is a book, or he came up with a book, or he researched out a book, where the first day of human history ended the day that Enoch was translated out of here. You say, well, what does that mean? Well, Enoch did not see death, so there had to be some significance or something that mattered about that. It said Enoch walked with God. So, and he was translated out here, he did not see death. So think about Enoch and think about the 4 days of human history before Jesus came. Well, there's nothing more documented in human history than the birth of Jesus. How many days has Jesus been gone? Well, we say 2,000 years, okay? At least the way we're looking at it. So if I add 4,000 and 2,000, guess what? You know, I'm all over 6,000 years of human history. Now, you say, well, what are you trying to tell me? I'm trying to tell you that if you have somebody you want to try to get to heaven, somebody you want to talk to about Jesus, you need to be doing it. And you say, well, what are you talking about? I'm talking about the fact that if with God all things, okay, all things have a systematic purpose in God's plan, and we're at somewhere around 6,000 years of human history now, the only thing left at the end of the 6,000 years human history is Daniel's 70th week of prophecy, which talks about a seven-year period. In that seven-year period is going to be tribulation. The last 3.5 years of that will be great tribulation. The beautiful thing is the church will not be here. The sad thing is all the people that are thinking about Jesus but not reacting to Jesus and not getting saved, guess what? Those people aren't going to make it, okay? And from what I've read and what I've been taught and told and preached to about, they don't get another opportunity to get saved in the tribulation period. That is heartbreaking to me, which tells me you need to share my program this morning if you're not going to tell them. And that's one of the things that is so crazy to me. You know, we all want the same things, but nobody's sharing the work that's being done. But anyway, it's neither here nor there. So we got a seven-year period of time to look forward to. Well, guess what? Our time is done. We can say happy hallelujah. We can get excited. We can say, man, I'm you know, I love the Lord. He's rescued me. He's taken me out of here to a place called heaven. But something else leaves here when we leave, and that's called the restraining ministry of the Holy Spirit. That's what's holding the devil off of you right now and off of us, off of all of us, because just like he killed Jesus, or he thought he did, and just like he persecuted the disciples, and just like he's persecuted a lot of people throughout history, listen, it's not what he wants to do. He wants to kill us all. But God won't let him take our lives. Well, we can see some suffering sometimes. But he won't let us take our lives. Now, let's look at this situation. There's a seven-year tribulation period. What does that mean to the Christian? Don't mean anything. He's gone. But what I'm saying about a sense of urgency, a plan for you and me to jump into action and tell people about Jesus and give them another chance and even talk to the people that we're offending and that don't like us and that hate us and whatever, is please don't go through this tribulation period. It's going to be the most heartbreaking situation you have ever seen. Please do not do this. I'm begging you. Now, what's the master plan? Okay. The master plan is you got to make some adjustments. You got to get with people. You got to tell people. You got to be on working for Jesus to get the word out here so that people know that Jesus still wants to save them. Don't be a scoffer. Don't think he's not coming. Like 2 Peter 3:8 tells us, you know, people got to, I've heard that all my life. The preacher said it just last night. I don't care if you have heard it all your life. If Jesus was close to coming yesterday, he's closer today. Well, I'm telling you about something out of the Bible that you can go back and read the very verses. Read Genesis chapter 1. Read Revelation 21. Read 2 Peter 3:8. Put those three things together, and you'll see that we're right there in the middle of this thing being over for the Christian. Now, I got to be honest. I'm pretty happy about it, to be honest, because I feel like we've got thousands of episodes on this blog talk that we've shared on Facebook and we've shared on Twitter, and we've done, you know, I don't know how many people got saved off of it, or how many people started to read the Bible and found a church, and the preacher or the teachers or the deacons or the trustees or somebody led them to the Lord. I don't know. But I know it's going to come to an end, and I know we're going to be out of here. Now, what's going to happen when we get in this thing called heaven? Okay? We go up. We're with the Lord for 7 years here. Now, it's been a few years since I really researched this and remember how it was taught to me, but the Battle of Armageddon happens at the end of the 7-year tribulation period. The armies of the world follow Satan. Satan puts it in their mind that they can beat God, so they line up, and Jesus Christ blows through them just like a stiff wind. And it's over. Listen, if you're fighting against God Almighty today, you're fighting against the wind. And that wind can still knock you on your hind end. So you've got to wake up in this situation. You've got to come to a position where you start to do the things Jesus wants you to do. And the number one thing is to surrender. He wants you to surrender. See, all this other stuff's going to pass away. All this other stuff's not going to matter. So in all of human history, you and me are standing at an open door. We can get some people through that open door. Revelation 3:20 is a verse for that, where Jesus says, the door's open for you right now. He said not only that, but he said, I'll stand at your door and I'll knock. So he's going to personally come to you and knock on your door, knock on your heart, ask you to come, ask you to be part of the kingdom of heaven. And he said, you better come. Listen, I'm not trying to know it all. I'm not trying to be Max Lucado or anybody, but I'm trying to tell you the time is short. Please, 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 if you got questions you want to talk about it, call me. I don't care if you like me or you dislike me, or you're a Democrat and I'm a Republican, or you're black and I'm white, or you're a man and I'm a man and I don't care. You call me, we'll talk about it. 304-638-6563. Private message me on this Facebook link. Listen, I don't care. You might have disliked me all your life, but hell's not worth this. So I'm begging you, I'm pleading with you. Get this thing right in your mind, because in all human history, we're right there at the gate. We're right there at the door. And when God shuts that door, no man can open it. Talk to you soon. Have a great Monday.